correct? We have a photographic memory, but are out of film. All right. 4:53 will serenade anyone coming in. He keeps me singing. Excuse me? Oh, I sing lead, yes. All five verses. I'll say this, the guys downstairs will hear this in a minute, but get your rear ends upstairs, please. We're having church.
Not such power.
It's always been an aggravation for pastors. They have fellowship and people don't take the music part of it seriously, but it's a very important part of worship.
Amen.
How many of you know the song, Jesus is Calling?
Yes. Not sure.
That's an Amber Alert.
I think so. I don't know how many of you know. Oh, I do. I know it.
Yeah,
one came out on my phone.
All miners are out there singing it, they know.
I know it.
Jesus is tenderly calling.
Where are you at?
Yeah.
All right, onliners, if you're still with us and able to endure that mess,
sorry, everybody.
We will hopefully get a little more practice in on some of those songs. And we've already got a couple of online prayer requests in. So if those of you who didn't get yours in yet, send them to bbfohio@protonmail.com. Raise your hand if you'd like a prayer card, as usual. Janie will take care of you.
My boss will take one. Check. Okay.
All right. We got the cameras all ready. I don't know if you put your phone on silence. Mine, well, I put it on mute. So I don't hear that Amber Alert that keeps going on. But I don't think you can turn those off. I think they come to you directly through the pipeline. So you have to ask. All right. We'll get right into our current events update. Number one, the expected avalanche of deception begins in response to the Supreme Court overturning Roe. Most of what you're seeing out there is nonsense coming from the mainline media, trying to scare everybody and all that kind of thing. But this is on Fox News. I just thought I'd share this. They have this story. Lauren Conrad, I have no idea who she is, but she's evidently some kind of scarlet, details experience with life-saving reproductive care following overturn of Roe v. Wade. They're trying to scare everybody. Conrad revealed she suffered an ectopic pregnancy 6 years ago. An ectopic pregnancy occurs when a fertilized egg implants and grows outside the uterus, according to the Mayo Clinic. Due to prompt medical care, doctors saved my fallopian tubes, allowing me to have two healthy pregnancies. That's wonderful. That's probably quite an ordeal. I'm sorry that she had to go through it. And her story may be true, but her claim that overturning Roe would endanger her in the same situation is patently false. Amen. And that's what you're hearing, all these stories these women are telling about how that now that Roe's overturned, that somehow these kind of things aren't going to be able to be done because that these procedures are now illegal. That's not true. It's like we told you Sunday. The fact is, there's still something like 38 states, I think, that still have abortion. Now, I think there's 8 or 9 that have totally outlawed it, and then there's a bunch of states like Ohio that has a heartbeat bill. But at least 30 states, I think, still have abortion. So all these people saying otherwise are liars. And Fox News shares another scaremongering story in the same article, but this was also on their TV news. Conrad went on to share another woman's story dealing with an ectopic pregnancy following Roe v. Wade being overturned. And my thing isn't plugged in. This is going to be one of those nights. I'm expecting for the electricity to go off and then out of the clear blue sky, a tornado. If you can't find it on... Okay. Well, Continuing, yesterday I read about a woman with this same condition. So this is her telling a story of another woman's story. Having her ectopic pregnancy rupture and facing death while waiting for treatment. Conrad wrote, because her doctor was on the phone with his lawyer out of fear of losing his medical license for using a DNC as a tool to help establish the diagnosis of an ectopic pregnancy. This is heartbreaking. The fact is, it's heartbreaking because you're such a liar. You're such a deceiver to make people think that this has anything to do with Roe v. Wade being overturned. Her story may be true, the first and second stories, but that doctor should lose his license if he's that stupid. If he was endangering that woman because he's on the phone with his attorney, then he should lose his license for being that stupid. I'm not a betting man, but if I was, I'd put a few bucks on that being a total fabrication. But here's the thing. Fox News reported this garbage without offering any sane, reasonable medical response to it. They just told these wives, old wives' tales, as they used to call it, and just left it. Didn't say that this had no basis in reality, has no basis in the law, and didn't provide a medical, you know, it's Fox News. They've got doctors on staff who they could have interviewed and told this is hogwash. So here's the medical reality. This is from Forbes. Couldn't get it on Fox News. Overturning Roe v. Wade. Here's how it will impact reproductive health care beyond abortion. Quote, the ruling will in no way impact the training of OBGYNs to perform medically necessary procedures, nor impact our ability as OBGYNs to treat women for complications resulting from miscarriage or ectopic pregnancy. That's Dr. Ingrid Skop, Senior Fellow and Director of Medical Affairs at the Anti-Abortion Charlotte Lozier Institute. So she's not even on the pro-life side. She believes in murdering unborn children, and yet she is saying, listen to what she says. To say otherwise is simply scaremongering. End quote.
She said she's anti-abortion. But...
oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was... I'm very, very distracted. She is anti-abortion. I misrepresented her. Dr. Ingrid Skop, if you're watching, I do apologize. But to say otherwise is simply scaremongering. And that's the whole point. Fox News is putting these stories on and they're allowing these people. I thought misinformation was the big sin now.
Right.
That's what gets you kicked off of Facebook and Twitter. Misinformation.
Yeah.
They got fact checkers all over the place. They've got whole institutes now dedicated to stopping misinformation. And here's Fox News allowing this misinformation without putting any rebuttal at all in their story. How many of you saw the Brett Baer interview of Carrie Lake, who's running for the governor of Arizona? It was pathetic. And then they said that this, the January 6th, I call it the 1-6 crap show. And they had that girl on there just flapping her jaws, not providing any evidence for anything she's saying, claiming that Donald Trump was trying to grab the steering wheel and put his hand on the guy's throat that was driving, or, you know, all this. And they've come out now and said that they've got the Secret Security who says that she made it all up. It didn't happen. But here's what I was telling Jay about that. As we were watching it, David said, Donald Trump wanted to go to the Capitol. And the Secret Service told him, no, we are not going, Mr. President. And then as a result of that, he's supposed to try to grab the steering wheel. Now, number one, if he wanted to go to the Capitol building, they should have took him there. There's no reason for him not to go there. It's like people get put in this mentality where they just see things through the libtard glasses and they don't even realize how stupid this is. He's the president of the United States at that time. If he wants to go to the Capitol, there's no way the Secret Service tells him no.
Right.
And if they did, Donald Trump, I guarantee you, would have had them canned and probably charged with something. I'm sure that was against their oath. Think of how stupid that was. To even make that claim. And then, you know, that he was grabbing the steering wheel and saying all this stuff. Well, man, you know, if I don't even have to be the president. If I'm in the car with somebody and I ask them to take me somewhere and they say they're not going to, I'm going to stop that car. Especially when I'm the one who's supposed to be in charge. But everybody's got this flipped universe where they're looking at it like, oh, Donald Trump did that? That's terrible. No, it's not. Even if it happened. And it didn't happen.
Amen.
And then there was another guy who came on and said he helped build the cars that they drive, and there's no way he could have done it. Physically impossible.
He said limo.
All right, number two. SCOTUS, Justice Breyer's retirement, is not new news. And there are a lot of people on social media who thought there was going to be another appointment by Biden because they came out and said Justice Stephen Breyer announced his retirement is going to be effective, I guess, tomorrow, or maybe it was today. How many of you saw that? Yeah, and this is from January. Justice Stephen Breyer to retire from Supreme Court, paving way for a Biden appointment. That's when he actually announced his retirement. And Breyer is already being replaced by this Ketanji Brown Jackson.
Person.
And yes, person. She doesn't know what she is. I mean, you may recall, she didn't know what a woman was. Yeah.
She provided a definition for the word woman.
Can I provide a definition?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can't. You can?
I added the laugh track. That's how the reaction should have been in that.
Yeah.
The fact that everybody didn't crack up laughing at the stupidity of someone wanting to be a Supreme Court justice who couldn't give a definition to what a woman is. I tell you that when I was, you know, in high school at least, I know that if Clarence Thomas or one of those guys had been sitting there and they asked him to define what a woman was and he says, I can't because I'm not a biologist, they would have laughed him out of the room. But there are now three female devils on the SCOTUS. There they are. And Jackson replaced the third when it came to Dobbs versus Jackson, 6-3. It was Devil Sotomayor, Devil Kagan, and Devil Breyer. Those were the three.
So
she's just replaced. One devil's been replaced by another.
Okay.
So the court's not going to change at all at this point. And then the 5-4 on Roe, you add Justice Roberts. And that was the four who, in the 5-4 decision. Isaiah 3:12 says, as for my people, children are their oppressors and women rule over them. That's during times of apostasy. Now, who's eight? You think it's terrible for women to rule over? Yes, I'll tell you why. Because unless there's apostasy, women don't rule. When women have to step up in the Bible, it's always because of apostasy. Because the men are good for nothing bums, so the women have to step up.
Yeah,
and that's what's going on today. And most of the churches today, if you have a man in the pulpit, he's got a nose ring, gets pulled around by it. I mean, I'm telling you, I've seen it over the last 30 years since I got saved. These preachers who a lot of them I agree with and some of them I'd listen to them and everything, but they'd admit they didn't take stands on things because their wife didn't want them to. And I'm not going to name names right now because I only name names and give you details when I can go back and pull the tape. But I can tell you, I've heard a couple of guys were some of the biggest preachers in the 90s and early 2000s. That didn't take a stand on things because their wife. And I've known some men personally who didn't take stands on things because of their wives. Now, I'll give credit where it's due. There's been some men I knew that only took a stand because of their wife. And yet, a little wimpy, good for nothing, whose wife is strong in the Lord, and she makes him take a stand. That happens too. But God says this without qualifying it, because the only time you see it is during apostasy. Children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. We've got plenty of examples that we could run through when it comes to children and women. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. So that's where we'll leave the current events update. Now, a couple of you threw your hands up, and I'm not going to call you on to the end, but now that we're there, did you want to say something? Or somebody in the back? I saw a couple of hands. Janie, did you want to say something?
Yeah, on the topic we were talking about, Trump, they interviewed a lady that said she was there when all this was going on and said that Trump was fighting his way through the crowd.
Well, now let me stop you. She didn't say she was there. She was told this.
No, this was another interview. A total other interview.
Well, let's look that up first, Janie, because I'm sure that didn't happen. There's nobody there who said that they were in that car that saw that.
Oh, no, this was talking about in the crowd. They said he was fighting his way to get through the crowd to get up there.
So that didn't make sense. He never showed up at the crowd. He wasn't in the crowd.
That's what I said. Another pack of lot.
No, I didn't see that. So, yeah, Mark. Oh, he did call her a phony. He's made it clear she's a phony.
Yeah.
But, they're just saying, well, he'd say that anyway. But there are Secret Service men who were in the car who are going to claim they're... And that wasn't... Again, that was Peter... What's his name? A fellow named Peter something. Not Jackson. Something like that. It worked for NBC who reported that. So it was from a left-wing news source who was reporting that these Secret Service men... were going to contradict her testimony. Yeah.
I don't know if anyone saw the article from Arizona about the insurrection they had there.
There's been some mixed reports. We watched an interview with a conservative who was there, and he said that those people were already there for a different hearing.
Uh-huh.
But then when the news came out about Roe v. Wade and they weren't getting their way on this other thing, that he said he thinks it just put fuel on the fire for what happened.
It's interesting to see the contrast, because on January 6th, the people are all there, and people are just walking up to the building, not even breaking in the window, just walking.
Yeah, the difference is that was a state.
And they don't hide in the bunker, whereas in Arizona.
But that was a state building and not a federal building, so it is a big difference there. It would have been an insurrection to take over the state capital of Arizona, not the federal government. So, but...
Greg, this will make you feel better.
Hi. Hi. What are you eating? Oh, Grandma gave you a cookie. All right, let's get into our Bible study. We're going to be in Amos chapter 5. And we are going to open with a word of prayer and then get into our study. Brother Doug, would you open Bible study prayer?
Yes, sir. I want to thank you for this air conditioning, wonderful church to spend time with. Sunday. Lord God, we thank you and we praise you for it all, Jesus. And all these things that are coming up, and elections and everything else. And sometimes we get sidetracked, We have to give a lot of this stuff up. We have to see the Lord and just let it go, because we can get so worried about things and take it down the wrong rabbit trail, so to speak, and lose sight of the Lord and what the Lord wants us to do. So, anyhow, Lord God, I just pray that we stay the course and we keep studying to share that stuff through the God, rightfully dividing the word in Jesus' holy name.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, we're going to have some Bible reading. Who would like to read? Charlie, Acts 26, 15 through 18. Johnny, Genesis 19, 9 through 11. Jessica, 2 Peter 3, 8 through 10. Anybody? Janie, 2 Peter 3, 11 through 13. Jill, Proverbs 29, 2 and 11. One more. Jared, Matthew 7, 6. Got it? All right. We are in Amos chapter 5. We're going to go through first, about a little more than half. Verses 1 through 15. Oh, a lamentation, O house of Israel. Amos now delivers a lamentation from God to Israel. He's the delivery boy. He's the messenger boy. And we're going to read all 15 verses. I'll have you read the odd with me, so if you would, start in verse 1 with me. Hear ye this word which I take up against you, even a lamentation, O house of Israel. The virgin of Israel is fallen. She shall no more rise. She is forsaken upon her land. There is none to raise her up. For thus saith the Lord God, the city that went out by 1,000 shall leave 100, and that which went forth by 100 shall leave 10 to the house of Israel. For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me, and ye shall live. But seek not Bethel, nor enter into Gilgal, and pass not to Beersheba, for Gilgal shall surely go into captivity, and Bethel shall come to naught. Seek the Lord, and ye shall live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph, and devour it, and there be none to quench it in Bethel. Ye who turn judgment to wormwood, and leave off righteousness in the earth, seek him that maketh the seven stars and Orion, and turneth the shadow of death into the morning, and maketh the day dark with night, that calleth for the waters of the sea, and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name, that strengtheneth the spoiled against the strong, so that the spoiled shall come against the fortress. They hate him that rebuketh in the gate, and they abhor him that speaketh uprightly. For as much, therefore, as your treading is upon the poor, and ye take from him burdens of wheat, ye have built houses of hewn stone, but ye shall not dwell in them. Ye have planted pleasant vineyards, but ye shall not drink wine of them. For I know your manifold transgressions and your mighty sins. They afflict the just, they take a bribe, and they turn aside the poor in the gate from the right, from their right. Therefore the prudent shall keep silence in that time, for it is an evil time. Seek good and not evil, that ye may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you as ye have spoken. Hate the evil and love the good, and establish judgment in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. Amen. So verse 1 there. Hear ye this word which I take up against you, even a lamentation. So God is lamenting over Israel's apostasy. He's grieved. We read about in the Holy Spirit being grieved in the book of Ephesians. Grieved by sin. The only reason God's able to put up with our sin now is because we have been washed by the blood. He looks and he sees the payment made by Jesus Christ for our sins, and that's why He can look upon you as His child, and He'll hear your prayers. I always heard when I was a kid, especially, I remember hearing people say, God doesn't hear the prayer of an unsaved man. And number one, God hears everything. The right answer to that is God will not respond to the prayer of an unsaved man unless that unsaved man is calling on God to show himself. He wants to, an unsaved man says, I want to know you. So I would encourage you, if you know anybody who's unsaved, tell them to pray. But then tell them that God's only going to listen to your prayers when you're asking Him to show Himself to you. And then you'll go to His Word and look and read and allow Him to show Himself to you. If you start praying for Him to help you with this and that and everything, He doesn't do that because you're not His child. It's like, if someone comes up to me and asks me for $5, I don't just pull out my wallet and hand them $5. But if it's, one of our kids, and they say they need some money, then I'm more apt to pull out my wallet and give them some money. Why? Because it's my kid. But if you're not my kid, I'm going to tell you, go ask your dad. If you want money, go ask your dad. And that's what unsaved people need to be told. You want something from God? Make Him your dad. Amen. A lamentation. Defined in the 1828 Webster as expression of sorrow, cries of grief, grieving the Holy Spirit, the act of bewailing. And the example in Webster, he used Bible for examples and illustrations. Matthew 2:18, in Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping. That was when Jeremiah prophesied that when the Messiah was born, there'd be a great kill off of the babies in that area, and it was fulfilled when Jesus was born in Herod the Great. We call it the massacre or the slaughter of the innocents of the babies, not only in Bethlehem but in the surrounding area.
Also, we call the Bethlehem abortion.
No, that's abortion is pre-birth. These were little babies in their arms of their mothers, and they were ripped out of their mother's arms and killed. But verse 2 then says, the virgin of Israel is fallen. She shall no more rise. She is forsaken upon her land. There is none to raise her up. You have to remember, always remember, how important the land is to the Lord. It's an amazing thing when you read back here, throughout the Old Testament, you'll see it over and over. But Deuteronomy 11 says, but the land whither you go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys and drinketh water of the rain of heaven. And then verse 12 says, a land which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it.
Amen.
From the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. God sees all. He knows all. Amen. When it says that God's eyes are on the land, it's because it means He's got a special focus on that land. How many of you read where the Bible says the Lord's ear is attuned unto our prayers, the prayers of His people? He hears everything, but He especially has a special interest in our prayers, the prayers of His children. God is speaking of this apostate generation of Israel that we're reading about. At the time of Amos, not Israel in total for all generations. He says, she shall no more rise. It's not talking about Israel as a race of people. It's talking about this Israel that's in the land at this time is done. And God makes the preservation of Israel, the nation, also called the sons of Jacob, very clear. We've quoted this numerous times, Malachi 3:6. For I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed.
Amen.
And, of course, it's crazy to think, because there are people out there who will teach that God threw off Israel when the Assyrians came down and He's done with them. But how was there an Israel when Jesus showed up? And how is there an Israel, according to Romans 11, 25 to 27, all Israel shall be saved is still future. So then verse 3, "For thus saith the Lord God, the city that went out by 1,000 shall leave 100. Isn't that 10%? "And that which went forth by 100 shall leave 10 to the house of Israel." So even in saying "is forsaken, shall no more rise," he's not saying they're all going to die, but boy, 90%. That's a pretty heavy casualty rate, especially when you're not just talking casualties, you're talking complete deaths. I don't know if there's been very many wars where 90% of the people were killed. Yeah, Johnny?
Interesting how often that kind of ratio is repeated in the Bible, isn't it? Even though, like, well, the flood, granted, that was less than 10% survived. But
no, that was like 0.00001%. I mean,
right.
I don't think 90%, as far as God wiping things out, that isn't very often. Normally, it's like Gog Magog, it'll be 1 out of 5, so it's 20%. Okay. Well, and then in Israel, it'll be a third, about 33% during the tribulation. So you could say there are large percentages on numerous occasions. You know, in the book of Revelation, there's one earthquake and it kills a fourth. And then another one, it kills a third. And so you'd have to do the math. We did the math back when we were doing the book of Revelation. Huge number dying. Verse 4, then he says, "For thus saith the Lord, unto the house of Israel, seek ye me, and ye shall live." What's that tell you? 90% are going to die. That means that all you got to do is be the one of the people seeking him.
Amen.
True today. True today. We're seeing fewer and fewer people getting saved. We're seeing fundamental churches go into the pit. We've already seen whole denominations. The Methodist denomination now has a certain number of churches, like 20% of their churches or something, who have pulled out to form what they're calling the Global Methodist Church, which they're the conservatives. The others are the liberals who have homosexuals in the pulpits and have gay marriages and everything, and a smaller percentage is, and they're calling themselves Global Methodist. I'm thinking, if you have any sense at all, you wouldn't call your denomination
that.
But that's what they're, you know. And the Presbyterian Church USA, the Evangelical Lutheran Churches of America, the Episcopal Church, of course, the Roman Catholic Church has been apostate since Constantine, preaching a false gospel. And so you go to all the churches around here, and you find out just down the road here, this Episcopal Church now, you can go to their website and listen. They're very nice people. But you listen to them, and they, I don't know if they call him pastor, priest, or whatever. He brags about the fact that the reason people come to this Episcopal church here because they come here with questions and we do not give them the answers. Yeah, it's on video. It's what he says. Why? Because that's what people want. They want to go somewhere where they can have their own opinion and be their own God. You come here and you ask a question, we're going to say, well, if the Bible says anything about it, here's the answer. But down there, well, how do you feel about that? What do you think?
Doesn't matter.
That shouldn't matter. Yeah, Mark?
Well, it comes to what I said again, and I'll say it again. It sounds like typical liberals. Stand for nothing and fall for everything.
Yeah. And the ecumenical people send me their email for their monthly meeting. It's always a Buddhist or a Hindu or someone, you know, and all the Christian churches around here gather in there and claim they're praying to the same God. I show it, but you know, America has been getting brainwashed into this idea, really going back to before World War II. John Dewey, you know, and the whole system. And I showed you the clip, like, you know, even the good stuff on TV. We showed you the clip of Michael Landon and Victor French and Highway to Heaven. I showed you the clip where they're saying that. I was just reading to Jenny on the way in today. Dick Van Dyke. I love that guy. I just love Dick Van Dyke. And such a nice guy. And I saw where he told his son, Barry, you know, he should read the Bible. And he said that when he was a kid, he read through the Bible and everything. So I thought, wow, I didn't know. I'd never heard anything about him being a Christian. So I got his autobiography, My Lucky Life in and Out of Show Business, and about halfway through. And he took his family to a Presbyterian church every week. And he'd actually even taught Sunday school in the one back in Indiana. Then he moved to California, and they attended Presbyterian church there. Then he started saying, you know, well, I believe there's something up there that we'll probably have to answer to. He says, but is there one way? No, not as far as I can see. And he basically has nothing to do with the gospel, and it's all that do good, feel good religion. And it's really sad.
Yeah.
Dick? He said he had a drinking problem. Yeah. He's 90. I think he's, isn't he my grandma's age? 97? He's still alive. He was born the same year as Grandma Doris. Still pray for him. He can still be saved. Yeah, Doug.
Question to ask about. I thought that the conservative Methodists were the Westerners.
No, these are people who are in the United Methodist Church, the denomination, who just this past month pulled out. This is a new thing that developed. And I knew not to expect much. But they have women preachers and all that, you know. But they were just against the gay marriage thing for the most part. That was the big thing that they split off. Credit where it's due, but it won't be long. They'll probably be joining back up with them. You know. But God wants sinners to repent toward Him. Seek ye me and ye shall live. So, I don't believe God ordained that only a few people here in the end times would be saved and that all the churches would go apostate. I don't think God made that happen. I'm not a Calvinist. But I believe God knows everything. And God orchestrates His plan without violating the free will of man. And that God knew what was going to happen, and He is acting accordingly. And if there had been a great revival before the end, He would have told you that. But He knew better, so He told us what would really happen. There'd be a great falling away. Acts 20:21, this was what Paul the Apostle's ministry, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Toward our Lord Jesus Christ. That's God's will. That's what God wants us to do. God wants us to tell people how that Christ died for their sins, shed His blood to pay for their sins, was buried and rose again after 3 days, and then call on them to repent and believe that gospel.
Amen.
And even most fundamental churches today are softballing that so that they get bigger numbers, and they're not calling on people to repent. And so people are just, well, I'll believe the gospel, get my name in the book, free ride. Hey, yeah, I'll do that. It doesn't have anything to do with the heart turning to God. That's what it says. Repentance toward God. So Scripture was Scripture. Jesus commissioned Saul, who was then later called Paul, for this very purpose. Look over to Acts 26. Acts 26, beginning verse 15. Brother Charlie's going to read to us. And this is the commission given by Jesus Christ to the Apostle Paul, verses 15 through 18. This was on the road to Damascus. This is after the road to Damascus. He's recounting his calling in front of Agrippa. Go ahead.
And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me.
Now, those are the words of Jesus Christ. And do you know that there are fundamental preachers today who are saying that that is works and that that is not what we're to do? There are people who are telling you all you do is preach the gospel and call on them to believe without any reference to the fact that Christ died for their sins, according to the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4. Christ died for our sins, not just our unbelief.
Amen.
And they're out there saying, no, he died because what's keeping you from being saved is your unbelief. No, it is not. It is your sins. And because of unbelief, you will not repent and have your sins forgiven. This is just a dead orthodox, soft-shelled gospel being preached today so that you can schmooze a few more people and have a few more numbers to put on the wall. It's really a shame and a disgrace. God's purpose is to call sinners to repentance. You preach Jesus crucified, preach Jesus buried and risen again, and then you call on them to repent. You don't have to be mean about it, yell at them and scream at them, but you do have to call on them to repent. And making it easy, all you're doing is sending them to hell. You either preach the true gospel and call on them to repent and believe on that, and that, yes, means repenting of everything, not just sins, of everything. Everything you are, you should repent of. Everything you are is wicked. It's fallen. It's stained with sin. You have to repent of all and go empty-handed to God.
Yeah.
And you go read the old preachers, read the old sermons, and that's how they preached it. But today, man, it's soft sell time. Amos was no soft seller. Verses 5 and 6, he says, but seek not Bethel, nor enter into Gilgal, because it's useless. It's useless religion. Every apostate church I referred to earlier, that's who he's talking about. I had some lady call me up to chew me out because I was talking about the preachers in town being apostate and saying, oh, it's a dangerous thing for you to do. I said, lady, what you're doing right now is dangerous. I am preaching the word of God. I am telling people the truth in a time of apostasy, and you're being used as Satan to try to silence a preacher who's telling people the truth.
Amen.
She'll never come to church here, preacher. Exactly. I don't want some witch like that coming in here. Those are the women and men who come into churches and cause the problems. But if all you're worried about is numbers and filling the pews instead of being faithful to the Lord, well, that explains what's happening.
Amen.
Don't go to Bethel. Don't go to Joel Osteen. Don't go to Bethel. Don't go to TBN. Don't go to Gilgal. Don't go to the Roman Catholic Church. Don't go to Gilgal. Don't go to Joyce Meyer. Amen. Don't go to Gilgal. Don't go to Creflo Dollar. I mean, you know, T.D. Jakes. I mean, name them. False teachers preaching a false gospel with false doctrine and milking people like goats. And we're supposed to be sheep.
Amen.
I'm getting preachy tonight. And it's not just because I was in a bad mood. I was preaching to myself when I was studying this. But look what it says there. Seek the Lord and ye shall live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph and devour it. And there be none to quench it in Bethel. Seeking anything or anyone other than God results in fire. You want his blessing? You turn to him in repentance and receive him on his terms. Otherwise, you get fire.
Amen.
7 and 8. Ye who turn judgment to wormwood and leave off righteousness in the earth. Wormwood means bitterness. There'll be a star, a wormwood, fall in tribulation and turn all the waters to bitterness. And leave off righteousness in the earth. Seek him again. Seek him that maketh the seven stars and Orion, and turneth the shadow of death into the morning, and maketh the day dark with night, that calleth for the waters of the sea, and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. Amos appeals to God's omnipotent power over nature. He's telling people, listen, folks, look around and you see the power of God and you're going to mess with Him about that? You can see these same type of references in Job 9, 4 through 10, Job 38, 31 through 34. Yeah, Jenny?
This show, we've been watching Ancient Aliens. They've talked a lot about how people who believe aliens are coming back, Orion has a big importance to them, like Orion's belt.
Yeah.
So I find it cool that God...
Cool.
People specifically,
yeah.
So
cool and ironic. Yeah. The seven stars there is a reference to a constellation called Pleiades. And when it appeared over the sky, over Israel, it marked the beginning of spring. And then Orion was a constellation whose appearance in the sky over Israel marks the beginning of the cold, rain, and frost. He's saying you have no control over that. God is in control. The rest of verse 8 describes the solar cycle and the water cycle, the evaporation cycle, whatever you want to call it, that, again, man has no control over. Although with HARP and other science and technology, they're trying to manipulate the weather. And who knows? According to Genesis 10, anything they imagine they can do. So it may happen. But you think of the herdsman. Amos was a herdsman. And he would have relied on the skies and the proper care of his herds and flocks. Amos had a sky app. He'd just look up. And he would see what the sky would tell you. And then go back to Genesis and God said that's why he created those things. It wasn't to tell your future. It wasn't for horoscopes. All that satanic garbage. It was to show you the signs and the seasons. You would know what was going on by the constellations, by the position of the sun, and so forth. So then verse 9, that strengtheneth the spoiled against the strong, so that the spoiled shall come against the fortress. God doesn't allow the one with the most power to always win. These people had gotten used to the power that he's talking. Remember the kine of Bashan? He's talking about the elitist women. They were all well-dressed and, ate well and everything. But he was showing them, first of all, he took a lot of that away from them. And said they started to have clean teeth after a while because they didn't have food to eat and all that. These people were used to being the elite and getting by with it. And God says, it isn't always going to be the case. We're about to see the end of that. They had totally taken advantage of all the poor people and taken everything they could away from the poor. That's really what's happening right now. The Fed is all about taking the money from the people. The Fed is a form of taxation and inflation. And it is orchestrated to keep you poorer and poorer. And they're wanting to bring down the Western world to the same level economically as the third world. But not them. The people involved in the system, the people in the Council of Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission and the Bilderbergers, the Bohemian Grove and all that, the upper level of the Freemasons, the Jesuits, the Vatican, all those people, they're going to eat well. They're going to stay in air conditioning in the summer and have heat in the winter and all that. But they want to bring the majority of the people down.
Yeah.
And we'll all be on that same level of poor. And that's what the Antichrist will do when he inflicts his mark. Verse 10, they hate him that rebuketh in the gate, and they abhor him that speaketh uprightly. It's like Sodom.
Yeah.
Remember, Sodom said, don't judge. Johnny's going to read it to us. Pagans, heathen, idolaters, sodomites, liberals, progressives, stink by any other name. They all talk alike. Johnny, read that to us. Genesis 19, 9 through 11. You remember, they come to Lot's door. The angels are there, and they're wanting to rape the angels.
Yep.
And they said, wait a minute. Yep. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door.
So what is man's going to be a judge? Don't judge us. That's what it's all about. And we must stand even when we're hated. Folks, I'm going to stand. It doesn't have anything to do with sentimentalism. It doesn't have anything to do with anything else other than I know they were right. So you find your fundamental preachers of the 1980s, and when they stood with the Word of God against the Sodomites, and the way they stood against the Sodomites, I'm not going to lose sleep over hearing somebody say the word queer or fag or something else against that sickening, depraved lifestyle. And that's how our forefathers stood against Sodom, and that's how I'm going to stand against Sodom. And I don't care who likes it or who doesn't. I am not going to change the stand because I'm surrounded by a bunch of people who are a part of the apostasy.
Amen.
And this church, as long as I have breath, will continue to be right where we were in the 1980s, the 1970s, the 1960s, the 1700s, the 1600s, the 1200s, the 100s.
Amen.
The date on the calendar doesn't change a thing. Verse 11, for as much therefore as your treading is upon the poor, and you take from him burdens of wheat, ye have built houses of hewn stone, but ye shall not dwell in them. Ye have planted pleasant vineyards, but ye shall not drink wine of them. God's got sick of this stuff that's going on right now where they're jacking up your gas prices because they know they don't have to suffer. They will try to push their electric garbage junk down your throat, push off this solar crap that doesn't last more than a couple of years, and you go do your research, you find that these people have, some people have spent, how much was it, Jenny, that we saw they were spending like $30,000, $60,000 to install this stuff, and it doesn't work.
Really?
It's garbage. Then you can go Michael Moore's Planet of the Humans, where he shows that the way that they develop this stuff destroys the environment. So it doesn't have anything to do with green technology and a green economy. It's a way to make you broke. The love of money is the root of all evil. That's right. The green economy, that's what they mean. Amen. So the prosperity of the wicked will end. There's coming a day. We have to keep the eternal perspective as we live in such wicked times. And it does get old, doesn't it? I mean, it does get old. That's why I just say, turn off the TV sometimes. Turn off the internet, whatever, and get away from it. You can only spend so much time dealing with this nonsense. But you do have to be informed. I mean, that's why we have current events updates. And you do need to check in on things and see what's going on. But man, once you start to feel it kind of burden you and dragging you down, turn it off and get with the Lord and, you know, do whatever to get away from it. Who's going to read 2 Peter 3, 8 through 10? Go ahead, Jessica.
But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up.
It's all going to burn, amen? But look, in between that promise, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But before that, it reminds us that with the Lord, it's only been a couple of days since Jesus ascended to heaven. It's only been a couple of days. And then it ends with the promise there that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. It's coming. How many of you thought, you know, school would never end?
Yeah.
Now you look back and you're like, man, where did the time go?
Yeah.
Yeah? Who's got 3, 11 through 13?
Yeah.
Who has 2 Peter 3:11 through 13? Yeah, you got to write down yours, not everybody else's. Go ahead. Go ahead. 2 Peter 3:11 through 13.
Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godlessness?
That's the opposite. Godliness, yeah.
Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with ferment and heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness.
Amen. So, God will win.
Amen.
And, you know, I've heard people talk about it. They act like you're supposed to feel guilty for wanting to see this happen. Listen, God will win, and you win if you're on his side. So when all this happens, yes, I'm sorry to see anybody die and perish and go to hell. I can't tell you. I know my feelings about it is nowhere near the level of God's. God doesn't want to see that. And yet there's a thing called justice. And there are people who have chosen to do that, chosen to perish, chosen to go to hell. I'm ready to go on and get this thing over with. I'm ready to go be with the Lord. Yeah, real quick.
Well, another reason to be happy with this is if he doesn't win, then he was a liar.
Yeah.
And he's an unjust judge, and you can't trust him on anything else.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll come back to that. We've covered that before. Verse 12. For I know your manifold transgressions and your mighty sins. They afflict the just. They take a bribe, and they turn aside the poor in the gate from the right. They silence righteous judges and promote corrupt judges. That's the work of the left in this country right now. That's what they're all about. They want to put judges who will not interpret the original intent of the Constitution and just make up stuff. They're wicked. And it's been the liberal agenda since Woodrow Wilson's who started all this. FDR put it in high gear. But don't blame the Democrats. It was Eisenhower and Nixon who put the men on the Supreme Court that legalized abortion. Two Republicans. And Trump gave us three justices that made it possible to overturn Roe v. Wade. And you think all these fake evangelicals and these fake Republicans will give him credit for that? That's who you know who you're dealing with. Verse 13, therefore the prudent shall keep silence in that time, for it is an evil time. That explains the silent majority. Therefore the prudent shall keep silence in that time, for it is an evil time. This doesn't mean we never speak, but it means we must use wisdom. Go ahead and read that, Jill. Proverbs 29:2, and then verse 11.
When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn.
Amen. Now verse 11.
A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards.
That verse has kept me out of a lot of trouble. And sometimes I've ignored it and gotten in trouble. I've been a fool from time to time. But we better all be very careful. One thing is to know your audience.
Amen.
Know who you're talking to. And it doesn't mean you play the coward, but if you do the crime, be ready to do the time. Amen?
Yeah.
How many times have we seen people take a bold stand and then when it comes down on them, they crumble? Don't do it unless you know you're ready to stand and pay the price. Matthew 7:6. Jared? Matthew 7:6 is the wisdom of Christ on this matter.
Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you.
So there, Jesus isn't saying, yeah, just say whatever anytime and let them just trample every... You know, I won't name names for the online, but, you know, we've dealt with this recently in prayer for people when it comes to where to work and how to deal with things and what to say and when. There's times where you do just pray. There's times where you pick your battles and that sort of thing. And that's what was going on there. And I'm going to stop there. We'll pick up in verse 14 next time instead of 16. But you do what you can do. That's all that you can do with God's help. Amen?
Amen.
And, you know, that isn't my wisdom, but I want to tell you, if you want to listen to something from me as a word of wisdom, that's one of the best I've ever been given. You'd drive yourself crazy if you think you're supposed to save the world. And you drive yourself crazy if you can't just face the fact that there are going to be people that we have had people fall away from the Lord. We've had people turn against the Lord. We've had people turn against us. We have no clue why, or we know that it's just that they gave themselves over to this world and to wickedness. And we have no real explanation. It's out of our control. We can only do what we can do. I'm amazed that we're where we are. I'm amazed we had 4 years without a liberal in the White House. I never believed, if it took faith to get Roe v. Wade overturned, it would never have happened if it was up to me, because I had no faith in that happening. I just believed that God was going to hand this country over, and the next thing I thought was going to be maybe a complete bloodletting to pay for all the babies murdered. Instead, Roe v. Wade is overturned, something I thought never would come out of my mouth.
Yeah.
So God's grace and long-suffering and mercy is amazing. But I'll tell you this, I didn't have much to do with that. I mean, I spoke out for life and I preached on it and I've given here and there and my time and money on occasion and everything. But I know if it's up to me, it would have never happened. And thankfully, credit again, Donald Trump said it was God. I mean, he wants the political credit because he's running for office again, and he should get it. But they asked him about it, and he said, God made the decision.
Amen.
That was his words. And that's what I tell people. I believe God deserves the credit, and part of that credit is for giving us Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And yes, I still believe he needs prayer. I believe he needs to be saved. And I believe there's a lot of good politicians who all need to be saved, but thank God for every one of them who do the right thing.
Amen.
And God has used them to give us a little reprieve. So next week we'll actually pick up with verse 14. Let's sing a closing song. 332. One we are much more familiar with and will not butcher. My Jesus, I love thee, and if you can stand, I let me tell you, I feel good. Got through this study and feel good about it. But I knew this was going to be a rough one before we even showed up today because my razor broke. I mean, when your razor breaks and you shave your head, that was the first step. And it's just one thing after another. But the Bible study went great. I feel good about it. It's a good book. Amen? So let's sing. My Jesus, I love thee. Let's sing all four verses.
My Jesus, I love thee. I know. Yeah.
Amen. All right, you can be seated. We'll get the prayer cards collected in a minute. Raise your hand if you got them. Janie will get those. You onliners, send them in to bbfohio@protonmail.com. Let's say goodbye on three. One, two, three. See you here, there, or in the air. Good night, everybody.
And happy birthday, Frank.